Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, she woke up to find someone sitting silently in her room, staring out the window. Who was he and why was he there?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it. And if you have a real ghost story, it is so easy to share them. If you would like to leave us a voicemail, call 855-853-4802. If you would like to write it down, just go to realghoststoriesonline.com. And wherever you are listening, we would appreciate it if you would subscribe. Just do that right now. Thank you very much. I'm Carol Hughes, and Kathy Gordon is here today. How are you?
I am doing really well, but I'm not nearly as exciting as you are. Oh, goodness gracious. Like last weekend,
the Cubs game,
you sit in the third row. I turn on the TV. There you are.
No, I was on TV the entire Cubs game last Sunday. They were playing the Royals, and I was on for the whole thing. I watched highlights on the Cubs Facebook page, and there I am.
And there you are.
It's like, oh my God. It was awesome.
Okay. It's weird because like I'm jealous because I'm a huge Cubs fan, but you deserve it. So I'm not like, there's no like animosity.
Okay. I do appreciate
that. I'm glad you got to do it.
I do understand. You deserve it. I do understand the jealousy because I would be.
But I would have wished I could have been there. That's pretty exciting. And the people you were with were really fun people.
Super
I liked
fun.
Them.
And the crazy thing was we had talked about this since they put out the schedule. My friend Ted just moved up to Kansas City within the last year. And so when I saw the Cubs were going to be there, I'm like, this is the game we should go to. Great. So Sharla, my friend from here, we go up there and we are going to go to the game. And I got the tickets in the shade because I knew it's going to be a hot Sunday afternoon in August because every August Sunday in Kansas is hot, even though
God,
that is officially
there.
Missouri.
It's hot.
Very hot. And so Saturday, went to the game on Sunday. Saturday, get a text from Ted, and he's like, hey, my friend, her family has this construction company, and they do all this work with the Royals. Either they have season tickets or X number of tickets throughout the year. I think that might be how they do it. Like so many games a year, they have these four seats. And he said, they're really good seats. Do you want to do them? And I said, 100%. Are they better than where we're sitting? Yes, let's do it. And then he's like, oh, and by the way, they come with food and drink. And I'm like, what? And so we get there and they have this whole Crown Club where they have this really nice buffet.
Oh,
it's
nice.
Right. It's like where you sit behind home plate, like there's doors right there that you
Crazy.
Can't see, but they're kind of hidden and there's doors to this really nice area. So they're like, we're sitting right here. And I'm like, what are you talking about? We're going out this door and our seats are right there. Are you kidding me? We walk out and we're sitting in row three, straight behind home plate. I sat down and started crying. I was like, oh, I can't believe these are our seats for the whole game. I started crying and it was just so cool. Like I don't know how many Cubs games have I been to? I can't even tell you. And I've never had seats like that. And it was just incredible. It was incredible. Food was great. We had waiters wait on us the whole time. It was like, and the night before we went, we set up in the upper deck and we had a great time in the upper deck. You know, I'm in a baseball game. I'm always going to have fun. But just, I don't know, there's something super special about where we sat. It was like
so
unexpected.
Well, you don't get to do it every time.
No, so unexpected. And to have it be my team, to sit right there and watch them win. And they got 18 hits that day. It was like, boom, 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 boom. It was so much
Crazy.
Fun. I think we scored 10 runs. So, yeah, it was just really fun. So if you watch that game, that Sunday afternoon game with the Royals, I was behind home plate the entire game. I was a little incognito. No. I had a bucket hat on and sunglasses because it was so hot.
Well, it's miserable.
It was so hot.
You know, it's funny because people say, you know, it's humid or whatever. But I said, you know, in Kansas City, if you are in Kansas City in the summer, to give you an idea of the humidity there, if you get into your car, your glasses will fog up.
Yeah, it's that kind of. It was
You
bad.
know.
And at one point, we actually had to, you could go in back into the restaurant area, and they had really big screens everywhere so you could watch a game. And we had to watch half an inning in there because it was just so hot. I'm like, I have
Yeah.
got to get out of the sun for a minute. But I am a freckled woman. I have had freckles my entire life. I sunburn very easily. Y'all will be proud to know that I did not even kind of get a sunburn.
Good.
I put on so much sunscreen that I did not get burned at all.
Good.
Your
Good.
daughter was texting me. It's like, how much sunscreen have you put on? And I said, I believe I've put on plenty, but I will reapply right now.
That girl is a she's a sunscreenaholic,
Yeah.
that girl.
And I am too. And but we went to a game last year in Wrigley Field and she got so sunburned.
Oh, that's right. She
Oh,
did.
it was
Yeah.
bad. Like she was sick, kind of sunburned.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Yeah.
I don't know. It was super fun. Really fun. I don't know how I got that
That's why I
lucky, but
said I can't keep up with that,
yeah.
you know.
So it was, and then this weekend I'm going to Des Moines to see Lainey Wilson, where it will
Look
be
at you. There you go again.
80,
Show off.
81 degrees is the
So
high
wonderful.
Sunday in Des Moines. So
That'll
I'm
be
like,
so
because
nice.
I was like looking at the weather last night because we're under extreme heat warnings here. It's Tuesday as we're recording this, and the heat warning goes through Friday. And so I'm like, good God, this weekend's going to be so hot at that concert. So I look and I'm like, 81? Oh my God, I'm going to need a jacket.
That's
That's what it
crazy.
feels like. It seems so
Now,
chilly.
you're going to the Iowa State Fair. And at the Iowa State Fair, you must see what they do the big butter sculpture
As
thing.
they do at the Kansas State Fair.
You must see if you can see what it is this year and let us know.
Okay. They do it at the Kansas State Fair every year, some kind of butter sculpture. I
Yeah,
guess that
you
person
never
just
know.
goes around and does the state fair circuit in the Midwest.
Yeah, you know, and does the butter sculptures, I guess. I mean, like, where else are you going to do butter sculpture?
I think just state fairs, county fairs, maybe.
I can't imagine where,
Yeah.
you know. Yeah.
Well, let's go
So.
to a ghost story. We will talk about this afterwards, but this has one of my fears of the afterlife in it.
Okay.
Here we go.
This is Selena calling in from Woodstock, Ontario, Canada. I'm actually calling this time to tell you a story of my mom's that I thought would be a cool addition. My mom's like me, where she's seen things her whole life, but of course, every time you see something, you want to chop it down to some kind of coincidence or just seeing something. But this story is about a neighbor, kind of. So my mom had found out that the neighbor's grandson across the street had passed away at, I think it was either between 19 and 21 years old, and that he had just dropped at work and nobody knew why he had died. So everyone was across the street at the grandmother's house that night. And my mom has an illness, so she has to wake up a lot during the night and take medications. So she had gotten up and went to the washroom and got back into bed. And a young man just sat down on the end of the bed facing the window, like looking out the window. And he had a towel around his neck and he was just sitting there naked with this towel around his neck staring out the window. And my mom just thought that this was the strangest thing that she had ever seen, and like, who is this? Why is he looking out the window? So she kind of remembered up across the street, and he faded out pretty quickly, and she got up and noticed that everyone was across the street at this grandmother's house. So she got back into bed, and she just kind of thought, you know, that couldn't be him. You know, he passed away at work. Why would some naked guy be on the end of my bed in the middle of the night? Like, that's very strange. So she promised herself that she would never bring this up to the neighbor, just because, you know, very sensitive subject, losing somebody so young. So my mom, being my mom, like me, who has a nice large mouth, ended up actually bringing it up to the neighbor about 7 months later. And she told her the story that that was the night that he had passed. And she's like, it doesn't make sense, though, because he was sitting on the end of the bed with a towel around his neck, like just hanging, like just, you know, resting. And she's like, it doesn't make any sense because he passed away at work. And that's when the neighbor just burst into tears. And she's like, no, Joanne, he passed away when he got out of the shower. So that's just another one of those stories that's kind of beautiful in a way, because it's almost as if my mom could pass on that he was there with them, watching them from across the street. And you know, I just thought it was beautiful. Thank you so much. Have a good night.
So that is one of my paranormal afterlife horror stories, is that you die in the shower and then you're naked. Now, I'm going to guess that once you are in the afterlife, you don't really give any shits. But you know what I mean? It's like, I don't want to be sitting on somebody's bed and they're like, there is a naked woman sitting on my bed right now. And the way she told the story kind of cracked me up, because the mom's like, what is he doing on my bed sitting there naked? She sounded super calm. I can't imagine the mom wasn't a little bit freaked out.
I mean, I would have, like, right, you would lose your mind, right? And just have a naked guy sitting on the end of your bed.
Though, with a towel. You didn't have a towel.
I think she obviously knew he was an apparition. Right.
I don't think that would make it. I don't think that would make it any better.
It would still be weird, though, you know, that he would be naked. But with that said, I'm trying to decide, how literal is the afterlife? Like, when we see people, I don't know. To me, it's weird that we would actually even be wearing the same thing, or I don't know why we would have to have the same, you know, clothing on or not clothing on or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we've just talked about it for years, about your death clothes. And is that, you know, if you die in a car accident, are those the clothes you're going to wear for all eternity? And in this case, he's sitting there naked because he died in the shower. Which
would suggest that would be the, you know, the what happens. But I hate to think that it's that simple or that materialistic. That, like, I like the idea of just being some sort of, like, entity or, like, shadowy figure or something better. Does that make sense? I don't know why I like that better. I just the idea of being affixed to this physical world seems to kind of, I don't want to say cheapen it, but it seems to make it, like, I don't know, when we transcend, I want it to be better than just this. But maybe that's what we understand. So that's what we see, not what it really is.
Because they did take it as a sign that was him, because, oh my God, he's sitting here naked. Why would he be sitting here naked? Which is kind of creepier.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh my God, he died in the shower. And so it seemed to be a confirmation of sorts that, yes, that was him.
Yeah.
But I don't get why you would have to present as naked.
That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
See, that's where I am too. Is, does it have to be that way? I wouldn't think so. But then again, you know, and I, like I said, maybe sometimes what we wouldn't be able to understand it if we don't put it into some sort of context of our world and our understanding of reality. You know, I always wonder, is that what we're really seeing, or is that what we projected onto it so we can understand it? Like, I think it was really him, but did he have to give us some sort of physical evidence so that we would understand it?
And I think
I'm trying to make it okay for you to die without your clothes on.
I just don't want to.
I'm trying real hard here.
I just would rather have clothes on.
It makes me really want to go to the gym and tone up. Right? That's all I can say.
I just find it weird that you could, like, go through the afterlife. And
I just don't think it would be that way all the time. Like I said, I think maybe sometimes people that have the gift, like it appears her mom does, to, you know, have these experiences and to see things, you know, it she might see it that way because that's how she can understand it. Mm-hmm. And so she just puts it there because the whole story is actually in her head. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, psychics often know events, right? About what happened to somebody. They see these pictures of what happened to somebody and so forth. And so I'm wondering if because she knew the events, because she's psychic, not because somebody told it to her, but because she's psychic, that she knew about the shower and projected that shower on him. I do think he was there. Don't get me wrong. I really do. I just think she's psychic and she knew what happened.
And it would be interesting hearing that story from the mom because, you know, the way the daughter tells the story in kind of an adorable way, actually. She sounds so pleasant. Mm-hmm. But it just sounds like mom's so super chill about the whole thing. And I would like to have a little more information about how you process that in such a calm way. Because if I was to wake up and see a naked man in my room, whether it's an apparition or an actual naked man, either one of those things are going to scare the crap out of me. Period.
Yeah.
You know, that's just not. And that's not a way, you know, that's not a way you want to present in the afterlife because it is scary. You're going to scare mm-hmm. people.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's hard enough as an apparition to not scare people. But when you do a naked, just telling you, it's going to be more scary.
That's right.
So let's go to our next story. It says, back in the 90s, when I was in my 20s, one of my best friends and I rented an old house together. I will call him Mike. He was basically like a brother to me. Renting a house together made sense because it gave us a lot more room than either of us could afford on our own. The house was older, although I honestly don't remember when it was built. It had two floors and a basement. It worked well for us two guys. Mike had a bedroom downstairs toward the back of the house. I took one of the bedrooms upstairs. We each had our own space, but we shared the kitchen and the rest of the house. Before we lived there, Mike and I had never really talked about ghosts or anything paranormal. I'd experienced a few strange things growing up, so I already believed there were things we couldn't always account for. Mike just seemed completely oblivious to that kind of thing. I don't think he disbelieved in ghosts as much as he had never had a reason to believe in them. This house gave him one. I think we had been there a few weeks when Mike asked me one morning if I'd been downstairs watching television the night before. I said no. He said he heard people talking on the other side of his bedroom wall. He couldn't understand the words, but he was sure there had been at least two people having a conversation. I told him I'd gone upstairs to bed and hadn't been back down. That was probably the first conversation we ever had about whether something strange might be happening in the house. Mike figured the voices had come from outside or maybe another house nearby. I figured that was possible. Then he heard them again. This time he said, it sounded more like two people arguing. He finally got out of bed because he thought maybe I had someone over. The room was empty and I was upstairs asleep. Around that same time, I started noticing something on the staircase. I would get ready upstairs in the morning, come down to leave for work, and just after I got to the main floor, I would hear the stairs creak behind me like someone was coming down a few steps behind where I had just been. At first, I always turned around and nobody was ever there. After it happened enough times, I just stopped looking. And that sounds stranger now than it seemed at the time. I never got a bad feeling from it. It was just something the house did. And after a while, I got used to hearing those extra steps behind me. Mike did not understand how I could be so calm about any of it. Then he came home from work one afternoon and found his bed completely messed up. Mike made his bed every morning. That was just something he did. He was positive he had made it before leaving that day. When he came home, the blankets were pulled back and partly hanging off the side. The pillow was down near the foot of the bed and the sheets looked like somebody had been lying there. He called me and asked me if I'd been in his room, and I hadn't even been home. He asked me a couple of times because I think he really wanted me to admit I had done it as a joke. And once he realized I was serious, he checked the doors and windows, walked around the house looking for anything else that had been disturbed. Nothing was missing. Nothing else had been touched. Just his bed. That bothered him a lot more than the voices. After that, he started noticing things around the house that he probably would have ignored before, but he would hear footsteps in the kitchen while he was in his bedroom, or hear someone moving around and assume I had gotten home, only to look outside and see that my car wasn't there. Probably the worst thing that happened to him was one night he woke up to a woman screaming. He came flying out of his room yelling for me. I came downstairs, half asleep, wondering what was going on. He asked if I'd screamed. I said no. He said he heard a woman scream somewhere inside the house. We checked around. There was nobody there. The doors were locked. It was possible the scream came from outside, and Mike tried pretty hard to convince himself of that, but he just kept saying it sounded like it was in the house. I think that was the point when the whole thing stopped being interesting to him and just became something he wanted to get away from. The funny thing was that I continued having experiences too, but mine didn't affect me the same way. I still heard the stairs behind me in the mornings. There were times when I'd be lying in bed, I'd feel the mattress pressed down near one corner like somebody had just sat on it. The first few times I immediately looked for my cat, but he wasn't there. I didn't particularly want something invisible sitting on my bed, but it also never felt threatening. Mostly, I was curious about what was happening and why Mike seemed to get the things that scared him half to death, while whatever I experienced was much quieter. Sometimes we would experience the same thing. I remember one evening, we were both downstairs and heard somebody walking across the floor upstairs. These weren't little pops or creaks. We could follow the footsteps from one side of the second floor toward the staircase. I got up to look. Mike asked me why in the world I would do that. I told him because I wanted to see what was making the noise. He said that was exactly why he was staying downstairs. I went and looked. There was nobody up there. That was pretty much how things went while we lived together. It wasn't constant. I don't remember the activity getting progressively worse. Sometimes nothing happened for a couple of weeks, and then Mike would hear the voices again, or one of us would hear somebody walking through an empty part of the house. Eventually, Mike decided he wanted out. He had other reasons for moving, but he admitted the house was definitely part of it. He hated being there alone. If I was going to be gone overnight, he usually found something else to do rather than spend the whole night there listening to every sound. I didn't blame him, but I kind of liked the house, and I had no desire to move, so he left and I stayed. After a while, I found another roommate. I did tell him before he moved in that we thought the house was haunted. I figured after everything Mike had experienced, it would be pretty lousy of me not to mention it. The new guy wasn't bothered by the idea. He eventually heard footsteps and voices himself, but his reaction was much closer to mine. We would hear something, maybe go check it out, talk about it for a minute, then move on. About a year after Mike moved out, I ran into him at a bar. We hadn't seen each other in a while, so we sat down and caught up. And eventually, he asked where I was living. I told him I was still in the same house, and he couldn't believe it. Then I told him I had another roommate, and that surprised him even more. He wanted to know if I had warned the guy, and then he wanted to know if anything had happened to him. When I said he'd heard the same things but didn't really care, Mike just shook his head, told me both of us were crazy. We laughed about it, but I could tell he still wanted nothing to do with that house. I ended up staying there for another year or so. Nothing followed me when I left, and as far as I know, whatever we experienced belonged to that house. Looking back, one of the things I remember most is how differently Mike and I handled it. Before we moved there, paranormal stuff wasn't even something we talked about. By the time Mike moved out, he absolutely believed something was going on and wanted as far away from it as he could get. I believe there was something there too. I just didn't mind sharing the house with it. Thanks for letting me share this. I've had a few other strange things happen over the years. Maybe I'll write in again soon. Take care. Thanks for the show, Adam. I kind of get the whole different way you handle things. We were just talking about that in an episode like last week, about how some people who have more experience with it, even that woman we just talked about, seeing a naked man on her bed.
Yeah.
She sounded super chill about it, where I wouldn't be because it would scare me because I'm not ready to wake up and see a naked man sitting on the edge of my bed.
Even you and I are a little bit different. I wouldn't say that I'm, you know, wanting to stay in the Amityville house or something, but I do think that I have a tendency to go, oh, it's okay to live in an old funeral home that's haunted. Whereas you are like, you have lost your mind.
I tried to talk you out of that.
I still wouldn't.
We were talking about that this past weekend. It's like our sister-in-law said, so when you go back there, will you stay in Kathy's old apartment? I'm like, absolutely not. Nope.
Nope.
Because I had some things happen there that made me really uncomfortable. But I'm kind of like Mike.
And I'm like Adam.
But I've had a lot of experiences, and I've had some things in this house that don't add up. But I'm not moving. So I might be somewhere in between. It just kind of depends. Because there are some things that might happen that you could go, weird. But then hearing a woman scream in the middle of the night, that would scare me.
Well, and hearing people talk is weird to me. I've heard it before. I've had house where it happened. And it's very unnerving. It really is. So there are certain things I would say that maybe are more so. But I wouldn't just dig footsteps behind me all the time.
Mm-hmm. And Adam's like, that's cool. That's just the way it is. I'm used to it.
Kind of got used to it. And that was fine. I was like, I'm not sure. I just would love that.
Yeah. So, you know. But I think it's really interesting because Adam had experience with it and probably I processed it. Mike's never experienced anything, you know? Yeah. And so for him, like, this is kind of terrifying. This is not anything I ever talked about before. I also think Mike was getting more activity, and it could have been the room he was in too. And it could have been Mike kind of attracted it for whatever reason. So I think that Mike had a different living experience.
I mean, you don't think that these spirits sit down and look around the room and go, oh, that guy, he'll be fun. Let's do it to him.
No, but I think that some people attract it.
Well, I think some people are definitely empathetic and know it's going on when other people don't. That can happen too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's weird. Like same house, basically, technically, you would think it would be the same vibe, but it affects two people differently. I just think, you know, the variable being the two very different people. How they were raised, what they like, don't like, what they, you know, it just, you know, Mike could not do it and Adam could.
Yeah.
It's like me. I could live in the old apartment in Burlington and you absolutely won't even stay there.
No, not after the last time I stayed there.
Not after one night, you know.
It was three nights.
But once again, you kind of had negative experience where I always felt it was kind of the opposite. Like they really kind of liked me.
No, not that last time. Cause there was that crashing sound, crashing sound, 4 a.m. three nights in a row. And you weren't there at that time.
Once again, crashing. And it was crashing again.
I don't know.
Did it sound broken glassy or not?
I can't even say broken glass. It just sounded like something huge crashed. Like a wall fell in. Enough that, like, I'd sit up and be like, what the F was that?
Yeah.
And the third night it happened, I'm like, I just got out my phone and started watching videos. I'm like, I will, it's 4 a.m. I am not falling back to sleep. I am just going to lie here. I wasn't about to get up and look because I kind of felt like that's why I'm hearing it because your son was staying there. He never heard it.
See, and that's so weird, right? Mm-hmm.
So it made me think, I'm the one hearing it. for a reason. Like, it wants me to get up and go investigate. I ain't going to do that.
Well, it doesn't
know you very well. So I don't know. I just think that you can definitely have two different experiences living in the same house. And poor Mike had never had experiences before. You know, how do you deal with it?
Yeah.
So I get where they're both coming from. Yep. So if you have a real ghost story, share it with us. You can call it in 855-853-4802. Write it down. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com. And you can always become a premium subscriber. Get the advanced episodes, access to the archive, no commercials, and you can sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something, but I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public would be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.